Come before you here this morning and thank you that we get to. And Father, we ask you would hear our ceaseless prayer. We pray, Lord, and we come to you many, many times. We pray again and again and again, and sometimes it's a bit like a ceaseless prayer that we offer to you. But we need you, Lord. We need you. And no matter what comes our way, bright or dreary, give us grace. Teach us to walk, to be faithful. Smite the rocks and find life in them. Whatever our path may be, but servants, Lord, servants of yours. Father, will you make me a servant here this morning? I want to be a servant of yours. And I thank you, Lord, for what I get to share about this morning. And I pray, Lord, you would excite us all with the beauty and excitement of what we get to have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's your title. You have your booklet. That's a blessing. Thank you, brother. I didn't enjoy looking at that thing. Alone with God. That's the title. Alone with God. And the principle of quality closet time. The principle of quality closet time. Open your Bibles to Matthew 6. You know this verse, but let's read it anyway. Some ways it's maybe one of the foundational texts here. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest. When you pray, Jesus said, I have some direction for you. When you pray, and we're not going to get to look at all of his direction here, I'm just going to pull out a few things here. When you pray, Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Problem. Problem. All right? Standing in the synagogues, you know, where all the people are, and in the corners of the streets where there's people passing this way and people passing this way. And, you know, sometimes it's a little hard for us to actually imagine someone actually doing that. Going on a street corner and then trying to look pious and praying for half an hour right on the street corner as people walk by. But our hearts are deceitful. Sometimes we can do that and want others to know that we were praying for half an hour. Or don't want them to know that we weren't. Don't be as those people. That's hypocritical. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's all you get. You get people to go, I see, or whatever you get them to say. That's all you get. But thou, you, dear brother and sister, when thou prayest, enter into thy what? Closet. Enter into thy closet. And then when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I remember one time we were traveling as a family. Before I was married, we were traveling as a family. And I remember we were going to my grandparents. And I knew I'd probably be in a room with my brothers, and there would be a few of us in that room. And I just said, Lord, I don't want to be there. And we were going to be there for a few days. I don't want to be there and not have any quality closet time. And sorry, I didn't use those exact words. But so I said, Lord, would you somehow give me a spot? I could find a spot. I think it was winter time. I'm not sure. Maybe it was fall. I forget. But it was a little cold. So I said, Lord, would you please give me a spot somewhere for these few days that we're going to be there at my grandparents'. So we get to this to my grandparents, and they took us upstairs into the room where we're going to be, and they showed us a room, and I look around the little room, you know, okay, Lord, where's my spot going to be? And there's a door, you know, you came in the door, but there's another door over here, and there's another door over here. So I went over to that door, and a little bit later, I don't remember when it was exactly, and I looked in. And I went over to this door over here, and I looked in, and I couldn't believe it. I got abundantly above. I got two rooms. Inside these rooms, it was plenty big enough for me to get down on my knees. And not only that, I had a light separate from outside. Closet big enough. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And God blessed me in that little room those few days we were at my grandparents'. It was a little closet. You know, it was literally a closet. And when Jesus said a closet, I don't think he literally meant it has to be a closet. But we know what he means. It's private. It's secret. And let's find private, secret places, quality closet. I'm going to emphasize, I'd like just real quickly to emphasize each of these words. I started in the middle. That probably wasn't a very good idea, but closet. Make sure it's private. Not interruptions coming at you. Nothing to deter you. Nothing to distract you. And nothing that you'll distract others. And find a closet. And make it quality. The tendency sometimes, and I know the tendency, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but is to do our devotions. And there's nothing wrong with that phrase, but whenever I hear that phrase, it always, I don't like it very well. And again, there's nothing wrong with the phrase. But do your devotions. You know, I do my chores. My boys do their chores, and you do this, and you do that, and, you know, in the routine of life. And so, yeah, I did my devotions. You know what I'm saying? So nothing wrong with the term do your devotions, but make sure it's quality. And we'll talk about some more of these things here. But make sure it's quality. And it's closet. And use time. Use time. You know, you've probably seen them advertise these daily devotions for busy people or something like that. And they like to advertise. It only takes 5 minutes. And it only takes some of them, I think, even 1 minute. I think they were advertising a 1 minute daily devotional, you know, for busy people. No. That won't work. It won't come out where we want it to come out. I'm just going to read a verse here to you to make a point. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. John 16:12-13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He'll guide you into all truth. Did you know you have a guide? That dawned on me. There was a book that stimulated, I think it might have been one of Andrew Murray's books on prayer, I'm not sure. And I was reading this book, and he talked about our teacher, the comforter, the teacher, our guide. And he said, we have a teacher. You have a teacher. I have a teacher. Some people pay, and sorry, he didn't say all this. This is just what started happening in my heart. Some people pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go to Princeton and Cambridge and whatever all these big universities are in the world. And they pay thousands of dollars. Why? Because there's particular teachers there that they think are wise and smart and intelligent and gifted and whatever. And they pay a lot. And you and I have a teacher that so far surpasses them. It's unmeasurable. You have a teacher. And I have a teacher. And I remember it dawning on me that day, Mickey, you have a teacher. And I couldn't wait till the next morning to get up and meet with my teacher. And so my alarm went off that next morning and turned my alarm off. And you know what? I didn't hit the snooze. I didn't want to because my teacher was waiting for me. There was a room down there that I knew I could get alone and I could be by myself. It was a little closet. And as I just meditated on it, I realized my teacher's down there waiting on me. And I realized God's omnipresent, but just picture it in a tangible form that we can handle. My teacher's down there. So I got up and got dressed and I got my Bible. And do you think I piddled around and get distracted with this and distracted with that? I didn't want to. My teacher's waiting on me. And I grabbed my Bible and I was walking down the hall and I got to the door of the little room I was going to go into. And I stopped and put my handle on the door. I realized my teacher's in there. And my teacher is the God of the universe. The Spirit of God. And I turned the latch and I walked in. Do you think I just walked in lightly? All these meditations going on in my heart. I walked in with a reverence. I walked in with a fear that day. And I went in and I closed the door quietly and I got down on my knees and I said, all right, teacher, here I am. Teach me. I want to know. I want to be guided. I want to know what the truth is. I want to be influenced. And you know, that morning I had a quality closet time. I did. I'd like to get four different snapshots, okay? We're going to look at four little pictures of this beautiful principle of the living God of heaven wanting to meet with you and me. And then I want to try to get practical, and we'll see how much time we have here. I want to get very practical and just list out some how-tos. And I'm sure some of you could give some good ideas too, but just list out some how-tos and things that have blessed me. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter. It's already open. I'm sorry. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. At our first picture, the principle of quality closet time alone with God. I want us to see the heart of God in these four little snapshots. We're going to just try to paint four pictures in front of us. And look at these pictures to see the heart of God. And the first one is in Genesis chapter 3. We know what Genesis chapter 3 is. That's where man fell. God created this glorious universe and this beautiful place and even made the Garden of Eden. And then He stuck Adam in it. And He stuck Eve in it. And here they are living in beauty. And in verse 8 it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the feeling I kind of get out of that is it was maybe a little bit of a habit of God's. He came down to the garden and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. I don't know how to picture that. How do I picture the voice of the Lord God walking? Did you know voices walk? I'm going to guess Moses, who wrote Genesis here, he may not have known what the picture was either for sure, but somehow we have the voice of the Lord God walking through the garden in the cool of the day. And I think it's obvious in the context his intent was to be with Adam and to be with Eve. Was it not? That was his intent. God of the universe, created this earth. He created a garden. Then He took some dirt that He had just created 5 days earlier, and He took some dirt and He formed it, and then He breathed in it. And then He put this breath of life, this little bit of breath of life, and He stuck it in that garden. And now, again, for some reason, God wanted to come down, and the voice of God wanted to walk with Adam. Adam and God. God and Adam. And walk. My, wouldn't you like to have been there? But this day, we know, sin had entered. So when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, verse 8, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Why did they hide themselves? Just say it. Sin. If you find yourself wanting to hide a little bit, when the Word of God is preached, when a godly man wants to talk to you, and you find you want to hide a little bit, just check yourself and make sure there's not some sin there. That's what Adam and Eve were afraid of. They heard God walking, and they hid themselves. Hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Does it work? It doesn't work. It even says in verse 9, I find it a little interesting. God, you know, God is, it knows everything. He's almighty, and yet He works with man. And so here He is walking, almost acting as if He doesn't know where Adam is. And He calls in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? Adam! Where art thou? Where are you, Adam? Here I am. I'm walking in the cool of the day. I'm the God of the universe. And I'm walking and Adam, I want you here beside me. I want to walk me and you. Me and you. Adam! Where art thou? And Adam was hiding over here. He was hiding. But do you see this beautiful picture? This picture of the heart of God. And He wants to come and walk with you. And you. And you. And me. And He wants His presence to be there. That God wants that. He doesn't do that for alligators. And horses. And cows. We all know that. He made man different. And He wants to be close to us. Do you see the pleading heart of God in this? Adam, I want to walk with you. Is there ever a morning, do you think? Is there ever a morning or is there ever a time during the day when God is calling out and He's saying, Mickey, where are you? Or He says, you know, whatever your name is, Enos, where are you? Does God have to do that? He will. Praise God, He's there. And He longs for you to be beside Him. And if you're not, He won't just give up. He'll call out. And He'll call out for you. Praise God, He will. But God wants that closeness. And He wants to walk with you. And He wants to be your teacher. And He wants to be your guide. Don't let Him call out. Have to call out your name. Where are you? Don't let Him have to do that. Be right there. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, let's be right there. Walking with Him in the cool of the day, talking with God, learning from God, and being close to Him and being influenced by God. There's our snapshot number one. Snapshot number two, Exodus. Okay, that's just one little snapshot to get a picture of the heart of God. Number two, Exodus 29. For snapshot number two. Exodus 29. Verse 42, and this, we're jumping in the middle here. I'll give some context, but we're jumping in the middle. And this shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto thee. And there I will meet with the children of Israel, the God of heaven. There I will meet with the children of Israel. And the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory. I'm just going to give you a real... I'm trying to remember how many other things I'm wanting to write here so I can get it all on. A real quick picture of the tabernacle. Maybe some of you know how it was. But we have the outer court. Here was the outer court of the tabernacle. And there was one doorway here. One doorway into this outer court of the tabernacle. And the very first thing that you met when you walked in that door was the altar. Then the next thing you met was a laver full of water. And then here we have the holy place. Holy place. And this square part, it was completely square, height, width, breadth. Holy of holies. And so we're talking about the tabernacle. And God's saying, I'll meet with you here. This here was a picture in the Old Testament when God was not able to meet directly with His people and walk with them because of Adam's sin. From the time of Adam until now, God didn't seem to walk with every man in the cool of the day like He wanted to with Adam, because sin had separated them. And so as they went along, they were given the law, and Moses was given what to build here, and we have the altar, and we have the tabernacle. And this was made of skins, and it was fairly large out around everything, just a wall basically, a fence-like wall with one door. And the first thing you walk into here was the altar. And what happened on the altar? What happened on the altar? Sacrifice. There must be a sacrifice. As we come and we want to meet with God, the very first thing that must happen is there must be a sacrifice for our sins. There must be. And they bring the lamb in there, and I'm not going to go into detail on all of that. But there was sacrifice. And here we have washing. We have washing where there was water, and they would wash their hands, the high priest. And so we have the picture of the cleansing of sin. And here we have a picture of, and again, different people do these pictures different. You study into it. I'm just going over this quickly here. But then we have the cleansing, and you can say the cleansing of the Holy Spirit. And over here, there's some shewbread. And over here is some candles, the candlesticks. We have the altar of incense. And then in here, we have the Ark of the Covenant, and there's cherubims over the Ark of the Covenant. Study it yourself and realize that every one of these little things has a beautiful picture to it. But God said, this is where I dwell. This is where I am. In this Holy of Holies, in a sense, was the very central part and heart of where God was. And He said, if you want to meet with me, you come here. And there I'll meet with you. Listen to this just quickly here. Hebrews 9, 7 through 8. I'm just going to read it to you. But into the second, meaning the Holy of Holies, this is Hebrews here. But into the second, with the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, he had to bring blood. And it went once a year, which he offered for himself for the errors of the people. So in this Holy of Holies, the high priest only went one time every year, and that not without blood. Must have blood as he wanted to enter there. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. While as the first tabernacle was standing, while this first tabernacle was there, the way into here was not yet made clear and made manifest. But God gave this to us as a picture. And He said, this is where I am. This is where I dwell. But you know, in the New Testament, in Hebrews 10, it goes on and says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. You and I, in this new covenant, He wants us to enter all the way into the holiest of holies. By the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. There was a veil between this holy place and this holy of holies. Because of the sin that began with Adam and continued on with mankind, there was sin. And God cannot dwell closely with sin, and so there's veils. And there's walls. And there's blockages. That's the picture we have. But, in Luke 23, 45, it says this: the sun was darkened, and Jesus was on the cross, and the sun was darkened. And as that sun was darkened, there was something that happened in here. And I realized this is a tabernacle, but the temple was built similar to this. There was something that happened in that temple. The veil of the temple was rent in the midst. What happened was that this right here was rent. Why? Why do you think that was? Because God wanted to show us the way is now open for Mickey Brubaker and little you and little me to enter all the way in with boldness to the Holy of Holies. Is that not worthy of a word that sometimes uses slang, but I use it very reverently? Isn't that awesome? Should fill us with awe. Me! Go into the very place that millions were hindered from going into. And that with God. And now I get to go in there. And I get to meet with God where that pillar of fire by night was and the cloud by day was. Hallelujah. Amen. It's beautiful. So, do you go in there? Do you spend time in there? Do you meet with God in there? In this closet? Do you have quality time in this closet with God? It's rent. Teacher's there. God's waiting. The question is, do you and I take advantage of the beauty of this closet? This holy of holies where God is, that you and I can go in. Snapshot number 3. Exodus 33, verse 7. We're still a little bit with the tabernacle, but a little different focus, a little different person. We have Moses here, verse 7. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp. And so, because there was some sin, and there was some sin in the camp, he pitched it without the camp. And we're not going to go into that here. You dig into that yourself. Pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp. Oh, what a sad day. They had to take the tabernacle and put it afar off without the camp and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle. But if you wanted to seek God, where did you go? Out to the tabernacle. Went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, and I don't understand how it is, but it sure seems to me that some of these Old Testament prophets got to have a little bit of New Testament experience. That's what it sure seems like. And so here's Moses. He went out into the tabernacle. And just picture this, picture the awe that would have settled over their heart. When Moses went out unto the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and they stood every man in his tent door. Is that right? I'm sorry. Man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. Just look at it. There goes Moses. He's going out of the camp. Hey, everyone, look. Moses is going out of the camp. And they all stood in their tent door and they watched. There he goes. He's going out. And he's going over to this tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. Moses entered in, and I don't know for sure where he entered in. I don't think it says here, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure it doesn't say, right? Yes, it just says tabernacle, then it talks about the tabernacle door. So I'm not sure exactly where he was. But as the children of Israel were standing, and they were watching as Moses was going in, a cloud came. And it settled down over that tabernacle. It was a figure and a picture of God. And God settled over there and people watched. And people realized God is communicating with Moses. And Moses is communicating with God. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. That's what happens in this place. this Holy of Holies, this holy place, this closet. God talks in there, by the way. God talks in there. You came here and you're listening to a lot of people talk. And it's good and it's godly and it's right. But have you heard Him talk lately? Have you heard God talk lately? Moses went in. And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. God and Moses. And God said, I don't know how this works for sure. Moses is writing this down, right? And God said, yeah, write, Moses, that I spoke with you as a man speaks with his friend. And Moses wrote this down. God and Moses talking, communicating, talking about the children of Israel, talking about things there. And he turned again into the camp. So Moses, he met with God. And God was close to him. And the pillar came down. And there was back and forth between Moses and God. Moses got his answer. And he walked out. It was time for Moses to walk out of this holy place. And it was time for Moses to speak to the people now. And to tell them what they had said. And let me just insert this. I forgot to mention this. Maybe I have it in my notes. I'm not sure. I realize this can be taken two ways. One is we're to live in the Holy of Holies all of the time. Under Christ, we are. But I also think we can take it as a place where man meets with God in a closet time way. All right? So I'm looking at it the one way. I realize it works the other way. But just be with me here in the way we're looking at it this time. So Moses goes out and he heard from God, and now it's time for him to stand up and speak to the people. Give direction. He heard from God, and Moses is a mediator, and he's going to speak to the people. But I want us to continue on this little verse, and this little nugget so blessed me years ago. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Have you ever seen that verse? It never says Joshua went in. But if he didn't go out, that means he went in. So Joshua isn't the main figure here. He's just a little tiny figure tucked away because he's a young man. How many of you can identify with that? A young man. And so he was just tucked away. He doesn't need to be mentioned. He's not that important. So whenever we talk about God meeting, it was God meeting with Moses, but somehow this tremendously blessed young man got the privilege of sneaking in under Moses' arm. It's not sneaking, I realize, but just getting in there underneath the umbrella of Moses. And he got to be there. And he got to watch Moses and God speak together. And he saw the communion there. And he saw the connection there. And I don't know what he saw, but I wish I could have seen it. But he saw something. Well, Moses is done. Moses got from God when he needed. And now it was Moses' time to stand in front of the people and give direction. Tell them how to go. Tell them where to go. What's right. What's wrong. But what did the young man do? What did he do? He departed not. Stayed there. Same thing. He departed not. What do you think? Is that a good little illustration for us? Young people, don't be discouraged. Don't wish for Moses' spot. Wish for joy in Joshua's spot. If you feel in Joshua's spot right now, joy in it. And you just stay in there a while. Just stay in there a while. Maybe it's time for the old men to come out and give direction to the church. And it's time for the old men to do whatever they do and to lead and direct. And for those of us young men, let's just be delighted to stay down in that closet and meet with God and learn and grow. And be changed and be influenced. Joshua, a young man, departed not. Stick that above your bedroom door, your closet door. Put that above your quality closet time door. Joshua, a young man, departed not. And you'll never regret it. I'm still a young man, but I thank God for the time I spent in there in the past. It formed me. It developed me. It revolutionized my view of the Christian life. It did. Young people, depart not, all right? Depart not.
But what am I to do for God? Where can I serve? Where can I? It's okay for some of those churnings to be there. Ask God about it. That's okay. But depart not and revel in the joys of meeting with God. I don't know why Joshua stayed in there. Maybe he knew I'm still young. He knew I still had a lot that needs to be done in my life. So he stayed in there. Maybe Joshua knew there's a lot of land to conquer. Maybe Joshua knew someday the responsibility that is on the shoulders of Moses will someday be laid upon my shoulders. And he knew I needed to know how to do what Moses just did. If I'm going to lead these people like the godly man Moses did, the meekest man that God wrote about in Genesis, if I'm going to be like him, I got some more learning to do. I don't know for sure why he didn't come out, but he didn't come out. I think maybe we need to learn from him. Snapshot number 4. You see each of these pictures? 3 little pictures. Can I exalt a little bit? Lift up before you this beautiful plan that God has for us to be alone with Him. This quality closet time and the blessing that there is to be had as God meets with man. And man meets with God. Snapshot number 4, Luke 21, verse 37. This is Jesus, and it's a very simple verse. We've all read it many, many times and heard it many, many times. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night, he went out and abode in the Mount of Olives. And abode in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives. Here's Jesus, the Son of God. Why did he need time alone? I don't know. But for some reason, he chose to take time alone. And in the middle of his busy preaching, and in the middle of his busy teaching, and in the middle of his busy healing, and all that our Lord Jesus was doing, sun went down, everybody else went home. And where'd Jesus go? Up there on the mountain. It's all right. If you want to call this quality mountain time, that works too. Same thing, because he was alone. And our Lord Jesus, here in verse 37, he was done teaching at the temple, and night came and everybody went home. But our Lord Jesus didn't go home to a nice soft bed. He didn't. He went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. Did he do it every night? I don't think so. But did he do it some nights? He did. And we find it more than once here. He's in the midst of a very, very busy time, and he's pouring out. And he goes up on the mountain to meet with God, to pray. We go look at a few other places. We find him going up into the mountain to pray. Sorry, thought slipped me. That's okay. So, just want you to see this little picture. I have tried and tried. There was a time in my life when I tried to wean myself from not needing so much sleep. I said, God, I want more time up there on the mountain with you. I want more time in this tabernacle. And you know, you have to be at work at a certain time. And so I said, all right, this week I'm going to bump it back. And I don't remember how I did it, you know, 10 minutes. And I'll get up 10 minutes earlier. And the next week I'll bump it back 10 more minutes. The next week I'll bump it back 10 more minutes. And I got tired. Okay, God gives us physical limitations. And he did that on purpose. And I had to bow my heart to that. And realize he gave me 24 hours in a day. And when he made a day and he gave it 24 hours, he said, it's good. In Genesis. And he said, it's good. So there's enough. But we have to learn how to use it rightly. And Jesus, in his very busy life, knew how to use it rightly. And I don't know how he did it. I don't. But he went up on that mountain. And he prayed. And he met with God. And then, we all know that he says, come. Follow me. Follow me. And if our Lord Jesus needed to go up on the mountain, how much more us? Sure, we've all heard those things. I'm just being repetitive in saying some of this. How much more us? So, the question is, do you spend quality closet time in your pursuit of God, in your pursuit of godliness, and your longing for holiness, and your longing for growth that ought to be consuming all of our life, and this Christian life should be consuming it all, and in all of that, are you having quality closet time? Are you? Are you having quality closet time? There's a little quote I'm going to read you, and this is a quote that I heard, so I'm sure I'm saying a few words wrong. I overheard Brother Denny make this comment. Oh, brother, there's a sweetness that comes over my soul by slowly reading over the Word 2 hours every day. I no longer have to search for messages to preach to the congregation. I have to decide which one to preach. I've been going through the whole New Testament every month for a few months now, and the fragrance just lingers, continues to linger over my soul. Years ago, I heard that little. I don't think it was even said to me. I don't know if it was said from Brother Denny to my father. I don't remember. I remember hearing that. And it stirred a hunger in my heart. I said, all right, Lord, what's that mean to me? I got home. I went upstairs. And I flipped to the back of my Bible. Where's Revelations here? And I flipped back to Revelations. And the Bible I had back then, when I got to the back of Revelations, I looked at page number and it was 289. I said, all right, Lord, 289, that's almost 290, divided by 30 days, let's go 29 days, that's 10 pages a day. I said, all right, Lord, will you help me? I want to read 10 pages a day, and I'm going to get through the New Testament in a month. And you know what? It's just like we were talking, I think, this morning. Brother Abner mentioned, he said, children aren't afraid to copy their parents. They see mama do this, and so then they do it. And I have my little girl, she'll pick up a doll baby and she'll throw it over her shoulder and the head might be hanging upside down. But she doesn't know that. And she takes her other hand and hits the thing. And you don't know where she's hitting it. It might be hitting her legs or her head or whatever. But she's seen mama do it. She's probably even seen me do it. And she's willing to grab that baby. And does she do it perfect? She doesn't. Did she do it? Is she ready to be a mama? No. Got a long ways to go. That's what I did. I was a little infant boy. That little lamb we talked about yesterday. And I looked up and I saw a mature man. And I saw what he was doing and I said, Lord, I want that. I want that sweetness lingering over my soul. So I looked, 289 divided by 10 pages a day. So I started. I didn't spend 2 hours a day going through it like he did. It only took me 30 minutes to read my 10 pages. But I started reading. I started reading. Started saturating myself here. Yeah, it was fast reading, and we'll talk about that. Fast reading isn't the answer, always. But I found blessing. As I disciplined myself, and I looked up at an older godly man, and I said, I want something of what he has. What I did was I took my little baby, and I put it on my shoulder, and the poor thing, if it was real, it would have cried. I realized that I did a bad job of it, and I didn't anywhere come near to what he was doing. But I started! And I started patting it, you know, and I got on my knees and I opened to Matthew that first day. And all right, Lord, I didn't know how long this was going to take. And I started reading. And it blessed me. Did I get the same blessing that Moses got? Did I get the same blessing and depth that Brother Denny got? He's the one that I heard this from. Did I get the same? I didn't. I'm sure I didn't. I didn't meet with God in the way He did. I don't doubt that in the slightest, but I started. Don't be afraid to mimic. Don't be afraid. Now, if you have one person, and you're mimicking one person all the time, and everything he does, that's not right. But don't be afraid to look at different men and say, he's humble and that's how he does it. I'm going to try to do it like that. And he's godly, and I see love coming out of him, and I see the way he relates. I want to learn to relate like that. You know, I heard something about his closet time, and I want to learn to do it like that. And that's okay. That's good. I wrestled with how to share some practical things. I have the practicals of this are messages and messages. So bear with me here as I go through some practicals. I want to go through some practicals. As you say, all right, I want to do this. I want to have quality closet time. I see in these four little snapshots and in these little illustrations, God, I want to meet with you too. Number one, set daily doable goals. If 10 pages a day through the New Testament in a month and all that looks way too far, that's okay. I didn't start there either, actually. But that's okay. Number one, set daily doable goals. Do it. All right, Lord. I remember it was just a few years ago. I think I mentioned intercession, how it's one of the easiest and hardest things to do. I remember needing to say, all right, Lord, and I told my wife, I want to try to spend 15 minutes a day in intercession. And that was hard for me. 15 minutes in intercession. I'm going to talk about praying about myself. I'm going to talk about praise, worship, reading the Word, intercession. It's kind of work. So be careful you don't set them too high that you get discouraged, but set a little goal. And if you're consistently meeting it and your heart's hungering after more, okay, bump it up. But set daily doable goals. Number two, in light of quality closet time, number two, seek to meet with God, not do your devotions. You know what I mean? Again, please, if you tell me you do your devotions tomorrow, you don't have to get red in the face and feel like you said something wrong. You didn't say anything wrong. It's okay to use that, but I just feel so many times, I know it in my life, and I know it's happened in others, and talking with others, you can do your devotions. All right, I have my three chapters, I have my prayer list, and you go through it, and that's all done, and you go about your day. You're going to miss it. You kind of missed the point. Okay, I'm glad you did, but you missed the point. I want you, tomorrow morning, and Monday morning, and Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning, and all after this, seek to meet with God. Seek that God speaks to you, your heart, and you get something here. And the cloud comes and hovers over your little tiny closet. And God speaks to you. Will you always have lots of feelings? No, you won't. But you seek for your heart to be stirred every morning. You seek for it. And when you just did what you were supposed to do, and you kept your commitments, and you sought to meet with God, and you come away feeling a little bit dry or empty or whatever, don't be discouraged. Say, thank you, Lord. I'm going to keep learning. And tomorrow morning you get up and you take another step. And you put your actions. Remember our circle here? And you take an action. But in that action, don't be content to just read your three chapters and pray through your prayer list. No. Come back with the same attitude, God. Here I am. That's what David did. Spend some time in the Psalms. David hungered and thirsted to meet with God, to touch heaven. Did he always? He cried out. And sometimes some of his prayers meant very, very much to me when he said, God, why art thou far from me? Sometimes it feels like that, but pray that prayer. Don't just be content with it. Get up and feel like you did your duty and go on about your day. No. Meet with God. So that was number two. Seek to meet with God, not just do your devotions. Number three, and maybe this is a little bit the same, but learn routine without monotony. Okay? Routine without monotony. Did you know that's work? That takes work. But you know, you allow that cloud to settle down over your little closet every now and then. And that cloud comes and settles over that closet one morning, and you're going to come out of there. And if you're anything like me, your tears, your eyes are going to be wet. And you're a little bit sad you have to come out, but it's time to move on. But you come out with a purposeful step. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Can't wait till I get a chance again. And maybe, especially for you young people, it can be before tomorrow morning again. If you really have a hunger, you might be able to slip in a few minutes some other time during the day. But you allow that cloud to settle down over your little closet and addict you. Get addicted to it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody sat down beside me yesterday and said, do you walk by feelings? And I don't remember how you asked it, brother. I don't see where you are right now. But do you walk by feelings, or do you follow your feelings or something like that? And I thought a little bit and I said, yes, I do. He was a little surprised. We went on to talk. No, You don't walk by feelings in making big decisions by feelings alone. Absolutely not. You end up in debauchery, sin, and devilishness. But I shared a story with him about how I started courting. And I had parents encouraging me. I had some thoughts about a young lady, my wife. And they were encouraging me in it. And they had contacted her parents and they were encouraging me in it. And, you know, it was godly and blessed from authorities, from others. And it wasn't going against the Word of God. But I just said, I just need a little time yet. That took a few weeks. And it took a few weeks of... I set aside a few times to... Getting off my subject, aren't I? I'm sorry. I'm going to keep going, though. I took a few times to find some closet time. Spend some overnights in some little closet somewhere. I just said, God, is this what you want for me? Is this really what you want for me? Am I supposed to go into marriage and it's now the right time and it's law the right one? And I would come back from some of those times and Mama would say, so Mick, how'd it go? She had this expectant look on her face. And I said, Mama, I just need to wait. She said, oh, okay. So then I'd go and I'd find another closet, different places scattered around. You can find them if you look for them, by the way. Even if they can't be in your own house, you'll find them. Another time and spent some time and sought God. And God blessed me, but I came back and Mama asked me again. I just need to wait. But there came a day where I finally felt like, all right, Lord, it feels right. I spent some time, felt blessing. There was a peace on my heart. Felt a confidence to go ahead. And I went home and I said, okay. And I wrote a letter and I sent it. Did I walk by feelings? Well, if you want to call that feelings, you know what I'm saying? No, don't walk by feelings. You'll be a wreck if you walk by feelings alone. But do earnestly be sensitive to the Spirit of God and your conscience pushing and nudging and God speaking and remas from the Word. Be sensitive to those things. If they in any way go against your authorities, go against principles of the Word of God, go against your counselors, your disciplers, stop! Don't you dare follow your feelings. But keep sensitive. Under authority, under the blessing of God, under His Word. Keep your heart sensitive to what He may be saying. See what I'm saying? That was supposed to be routine without monotony. Number four. Sorry. Number four. Search for personal applications to make changes in your life. Okay? As you're on your knees, or you're going through this, the Word of God, and something comes up, and again, this is a whole message, but look for applications. How can I apply this to my daily life? What does it mean to me? Blessed are the poor in spirit, let's say you're reading. Just to give you an example, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And what does that mean to you? What's it mean? You're going to go about your day. Young man, you're going to get off your knees. You might eat some breakfast. You're going to go into your day. You're going to work with your job. You're going to relate to people. You're going to do whatever you have to do in front of you. Poor in spirit. Lord, how do I be poor in spirit today? And think about it. Find applications. You know, so-and-so, sometimes he and I have a hard time relating. I'm just trying to come up with an illustration. We have a hard time relating. Lift it up to God. God, give me a humble spirit that I love Him. And I want to learn from Him. That one that's a little hard. And I want to bless Him today. I think that would be a poor in spirit. It'd be poor. It'd be humble. You're not looking to exalt yourself. You're looking to exalt Him. See what I'm saying? Look for applications. You know, as the cloud is hovering over your heart and the cloud is hovering over your quiet time, say, God, what does this mean to me? How do I change, make steps, take actions in my life? So that I keep being changed more and more into the likeness of my Lord Jesus. Number five, I need to draw a little illustration here. I'm going to call this the standard. How did I draw this here?
standard view is, you know, prayer is rising to God, right? When we pray, we speak to God. And then the Word is when God speaks to us. And that's right. That's a good illustration. You know, we pray and we seek God, and so the direction is this way, and then we open the Word, and then the direction is this way. That's okay, that's common. I'd like to use another illustration, if I could, to make a point. And I don't know what to put it. I don't want to make a big deal of it, so I just use a little bit fuller. Maybe I should have just said different. For me, it's more full. It's fuller than this illustration. Yes, it's true. We have prayer that rises, and the Word speaks to us. But do you know the tremendous blessing when prayer also does this, and the Word also is used to pray? What I'm saying? Again, I'm not trying to shoot this down. That's a good, right principle. But there's something in my heart when I see this little picture that I realize, yeah, prayer is not only just me rattling off a whole bunch of words to God, but I can stop and say, God, what are you saying? Is there a question mark in my heart? And God speaks too. In the still, His still small voice, He can give little nudges and thoughts. And the Word, not only does it speak this way, but you need to learn, and we'll get to that here in a little bit, hopefully, learn to use the Word to pray. And use what's here and pray these words to God, beseeching Him. And I just called this number 5 was exercise in the fuller view. That was my number 5. Exercise in the fuller view. And we'll get into that a little bit more here. Let me, for the sake of time, I'm just going to write some things here on the board. Read the Word. You can read the Word as a story. When you're reading the Word, you can read it as a story, and that's good. It's good and it's right to say, all right, I want to read through the Bible this year. So it's one of the most common ways. And so we start in Genesis, or, you know, there's different ways to read through the Bible, but I'm just giving an illustration. And so you start in Genesis, you open to Genesis chapter 1, and you start reading. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and you just read through it. And you allow the story, God's story, to wash over you and bless you and affect you and influence you and teach you. That's beautiful. Read the Word of God as a story. I'm not going to harp long on this one because that's very common. That's a common way. We just, you know, you read 3 chapters in a day. You read through it and just, you know, as if you were reading a storybook, you just read right down through. That's good. I would encourage you, read the Word of God. I'm going to run out of space here. Just move over. Read the Word of God topically. For a while, when I was going through the New Testament in a month, and you don't have to just do it in the New Testament, but other places, I decided, I want to know, what does the New Testament say about humility? And so I just start reading in Matthew. And I go, and I go. Anytime I find something that seems to be connected with humility, I jot it down on a piece of paper. And all the time while I'm reading, I miss a lot of verses. But you know what else I do? I find a lot about humility. And I get up after being on my knees for a while, and I've been thinking about humility. And I've been reading chapters and verses and verses and possibly chapters and chapters. And through them all, I just keep in the back of my mind humility. What about this? I'm just open here in Mark. Mary Magdalene, I wonder if there's any humility I can find here. And you're reading down through. And then you're in Romans, and you start reading here for the wrath of God. Okay, what can I find about humility? You know what I'm saying, but sorry, I don't mean jumping around. Maybe I confused you there, but I mean steadily reading and a scheduled reading, but you're focusing in the back of your mind on the top of your paper every morning in front of you, whether you're on your knees or at a desk, whatever, is written humility. And you go all the way through a book or the whole New Testament or the whole Bible looking at a topic, humility, or looking at the preaching of the gospel, or looking at you name it. It's a good way to read the Word topically. But don't do it, and I should emphasize this earlier. This and this.
Use them. Use them. Paper and a pen, or pencil, whatever you use. Use them. Write. Thoughts come to you. Write them down. Should be talking over here more, shouldn't I? Some of you do that probably a little more. You listen too, but write them down, young man. Write them down. You'll learn twice as much if you do. Oh, it's hard for me and it's this and that. Sure enough, it is. Good reason to start now. So it gets easier. Write them down. If you're doing this topically, you need to write the reference and maybe write down thoughts as you're going. And then you scan back over it the next morning. And, amen, Lord. And then keep going. Topically. And I'm only going to hit a few. Time eludes us here. Journaling style. You're reading in the Word, and you're reading slow enough that something will stand out to you, and you stop, and you pull out your pen and paper, and you say, God, what does this mean? And you start writing. Maybe it means this. Maybe it means this. And this blessed me today. And maybe at the end of each quiet time, if you need to start with this, at the end of each quiet time, you take a paper, just like this book Brother Allen gave you. What are the two questions? The first one is, summarize it or something like that, or share two things that are in it. What did I learn? And the next one? I'm sorry? Personal application. Wonderful. Two excellent questions. At the end of your quiet time or end of your reading, what did I learn? Write something down. Write something down. And then, personal application. What's this mean to me today? I'm just calling that journaling. You know, write some of your thoughts. Force yourself to think through it and figure out what you read and what it means to me and was there something God said to me and journal. Journaling. That's what I'm calling it. Let's keep going here. There's another one I'm going to mention. It's called the saturation method. I did the I did the saturation method with 1 John 2-3 years ago. And it actually changed some of my views. It did. It changed me. I read through 1 John, I have no idea how many times, in maybe up to 3 months. Many, many times. And we actually, as a family, I was working with my little boys to memorize it, which we didn't get it all memorized, but memorizing. So we're going through some of it every day. And then I read through it, and 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 I read through it. Now, that's not necessarily a balanced way to always do that. You end up with one focus and one thing. Again, none of these necessarily are so balanced, but do you see how there can be a blessing in that? And I started marking. You read something 20 times, or how even 5 times, you start noticing things. Mark them. Think about them. Note them down. Saturate yourself with that portion of Scripture. And you start to see things coming out that you never saw before. One of the ways I did it was I read through and I said, okay, what are all the promises in 1 John? And you write them down. What are all the commands in 1 John? As you read through, you write them all down. When what are all the... I'm sorry, I forget all the different questions I asked myself as I read. I just saturated myself in 1 John. And it opened my eyes to the need of these relationships. And the beauty of them. And the godliness of them. And the necessity of them. And it changed some of my perspective of the Christian life because I used the saturation. Read the Word. I'm going to move on here. Study the Word. Study the Word topically. You can take a topic and you can decide, you know... In a sense, that's what we've been looking at. We've been looking at principles, right? Pursuit principle. Study the Word topically and say, okay, God, how did people pursue You? And what did You say about pursuing You? And you go down through those things and you study it topically. You can study it exegetically. You take this verse and the chapter and you divide the chapters up. And I'm sorry, I don't have time. Go look for how to study the Bible. That's there's two messages preached. How to study the Bible. One by Brother Denny, one by Brother Ross. Excellent messages. Just some very basic practical things. How to study the Bible. You can get it from, I don't know, you probably don't have them here, do you, Brother? But you can get them from Effort of Christian Fellowship. Probably have them on their website, or you can order them. How to study the Bible. Exegetically, you're going verse by verse. You're dividing up the chapters and putting paragraphs together and then summarizing those paragraphs and divide it up. Saturate yourself in this book. You can study biographically. I have found so much blessing in biography. Study biographically. And on your first one, and you know, I even have some forms. If some of you would like some a little more directional in some of these ways, call me, or if you can send me an email, that's the easiest, and I can respond that way, or whatever. There's a way that I have some forms that are laid out with questions to ask and how to study some of these things. But there are many, many ways. But anyway, biographically, take on your first one. Take a lesser known. Take Epaphroditus. Good, good young man. What good, exciting little study. You find everything you can about Epaphroditus. Put it down. Then tear it apart and say, what does that mean? How do you live that out? What's God saying through that? And you try to put everything you can about Epaphroditus. You know, I'm picking a lesser known one so that it doesn't take so long. If you want to start with Joseph, you can, but you have work ahead of you. Okay. I remember my first study. I went to my father and I said, Daddy, I had turnings and I want to study the Bible, but I didn't know how. I said, what should I study and how do I study? And well, there was a brother that had come into the church. And he was sharing some things about non-resistance that weren't biblical. Let me just put it straightforward. He said, Mick, why don't you study non-resistance? Well, I probably should have dug out my study and brought it along so that you all could smile. As you realized, I grabbed the baby and I held it upside down and I beat it, you know, like this. I tried. But my little study had a verse and then I wrote out the verse. And I had another verse, I wrote the reference and I wrote out the verse. And I had another reference and I wrote out the verse. I don't know how many verses, just a few verses like that, and that was my first study. That's all I knew how to do. But you know, I grabbed the baby, I put it up there, and I started mimicking what I knew to do. That was my first study. Two little sheets of paper, not very big, and that's all it was. But you know, I took a step. I took a baby step, and I said, God, I want to know You. I want to know what this says. I want to know the truth of it. Will You teach me, Lord? And so I took a little baby step. Prayer. Use lists in your prayer. Use lists. That's one way to pray. Use lists. Lists about your own needs, own things you're learning. You go at the end of Bible school, you sit down, go through my little booklet, go through some of your notes. Say, okay, Lord, what did I learn? What did I, whatever? Make a list of things you want to pray about in your own life that you want changed. Make a list of things you want to pray about in other people's lives. Make a list of things you want to pray. That's a good way to do it. This one here has been a tremendous blessing to me. Use the Lord's Prayer. I heard it in a message that you can divide the Lord's Prayer six ways. If you go down through the Lord's Prayer, it's very simply divided six ways. And the challenge was lifted up that if you would spend 10 minutes on each of those six ways, that's an hour in prayer. And the first time I heard that, I said, whoa, I've never spent an hour in prayer. And how old I was, probably 15, 16. I said, God, I want to do it. You know what? Did I hold that baby right that first hour? I didn't. But I remember that morning. I got up, put my clothes on, and I grabbed a blanket. It was fall or something. I had to go outside. I was in a room with my brothers and sisters. Not sisters, sorry, my brothers. And went downstairs, and I went outside into the cold. And I went out into our van, and I closed the door as quietly as I could, you know. And it's kind of dark. I wrapped the blanket around me. I said, all right, Lord, here goes. I look at my watch. I think it was 5 o'clock on the dot. Good. 5 o'clock. So now till 5:10, open my Bible. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Worship. Praise. I think I took a songbook. Sang a couple songs. And meditated on Him and worshiped. And looked at my watch. 5:04. All right, Lord. So I come up, I think I sang another song, and I prayed and thanked God for as many things as I could think of. And I looked and 5:08. And I don't remember the exact times, but I know I did that. And I put some effort into it and 5:10. All right. Open my Bible again. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. May Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May thy kingdom come. Amen, Lord. Would your kingdom come in my life? And would your kingdom come until you can pray for missionaries and you can pray for your own brotherhood and your leaders, and you want the kingdom of God to be established on earth, and you pray, and you know, I look at my watch. I thought I was doing good, you know, 5:14. I have to go clear to 5:20 on this one. Do you see what I was doing, young people? And I went through my time like that and I got done. And did I do it all right? No. Did everything, was it just this beautiful cloud hovering over here and I walked out feeling in the presence of God? Not necessarily, but I had stretched my muscles and I felt a little blessing from God on my heart. I'm trying. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. God blessed me. And I might be holding the baby upside down, patting its head, but I'm trying. Okay, I'm just going to write a couple things here. Categories. Youth categories. You know, different people have different categories. Praise. Spend some time in praise or worship. Spend some time in thanksgiving and being thankful for things. Spend some time in praying for yourself. You know, divide categories out. Write some categories. You know, there's different ways. They aren't necessarily all together. I'm just saying, use different ways. And you write thankfulness, and then you write needs in your own life, and then you write intercession, and then you write, you know what I'm saying, and just allow God to bring things to your mind using categories. And so you might pray for different things in the morning, but you go down through some of these categories. Different ways. Stimulate yourself. Take little steps. Prayer. Use the Bible to pray. Use the Bible to pray down through, pray the Psalms. Psalms are prayers. And I wanted to mention one more thing. I'm not going to write anything down. There's power in the little word meditation. I realize meditation has been used very wrongly, but there's power in it. I'm going to give you an example of it. And what you're doing now with what I'm talking about is you're mixing reading the Word, studying the Word, and praying the Word, and mulling it all over in your mind. And I'm going to go to 2 Peter here. I did it 2 Peter a while back. And sometimes for myself, if you can do it on your knees and not get sleepy, that's great. If you do, put it somewhere. And I would put my Bible somewhere, and so I'll stop here and I'll say, all right, Lord, here I am this morning. God, will you send a cloud down on me? And I open up Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle, God. Simon Peter was a servant. God, make me a servant. How can I be a servant today, Lord? I want to be a servant. And you pray through your day, and you pray what's going to come up. And you pray, God, make me a servant and an apostle, a sent one. And I realize that maybe big A apostle, but Lord, make me a little A apostle. I want to feel as I come out of my closet like God is saying, yes, son, go out and do my work. And so I walk out of my closet with the hand of God having sent me. Anyway, sorry, I'm trying to paint you a picture here. And you pray, God, make me a sent one by you today. Sent into your kingdom, sent into you. Into your world to represent you, to be with my brethren, to preach to the world, to represent, to serve, to give. And so I walk into my day, a sent one. Father, make me that. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. I'm an employee. I personally am an employee of my Father. I work for Him. Lord, I want to be a servant and an employee of you today. As I go through my day, Lord, help me to remember I'm under you. I'm doing what you want me to do. To them, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have obtained it. And you know, sometimes I'll do a circle and you pray about a word or a phrase or something and meditate on it. What does it mean to me? And you come around and sometimes you end up five times around on a word and sometimes you whatever and you come back. To them who have obtained like precious faith. Oh, thank you, God, that I have obtained like precious faith with my brethren. Thank you that I have brethren, Lord, and bless my brethren. Precious faith, Lord, do I feel knit together with them? Like precious faith. Do you see what I'm doing? Prayer, the Word, meditating on it, all wrapped up together in meditation. Beautiful. You won't get through the New Testament very fast. But you know what? You might sense the cloud coming down over your life and blessing you. I have, and I trust many of you have also. Young people, press in. Press in to this most holy place. Press in, my brother. Press in. Don't stop till you've seen His dear face. Don't rest till His presence is clearly felt and you've knelt in that most holy place. Press in, my brother. Press in. He longs to come be at your side. He's waiting to fill and overwhelm with His presence in you to abide. Press in, my brother. Press in. He's waiting on you and on me. On the door of your heart, He continually knocks. Won't you open and heed to His plea? Press in, my brother. Press in. Isaiah was touched by that call. In a persistent way, seek God to be touched, to be changed, mind, body, and soul. Press in, my brother. Press in. Moses knelt before God on his knees, and the cloud of His presence descended down and gave answer to all of his pleas. Press in, my brother. Press in. Men of old have gone on before. They sought and they wept and they waited long till His Spirit on them He did pour. Press in. My brother, press in. Young people, please. Don't stop till you've seen His dear face. Don't rest till His presence is clearly felt and you've knelt in that most holy place. Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this glorious, glorious privilege of being able to meet with you alone with God. Excuse me, alone with God. Father, you bless each of my dear brothers and sisters here in front of me and give them a hunger and a craving to not wait until the call goes out, Adam, where are you? Brother, sister, where are you? But they're there and they're seeking and your cloud comes down and you meet with them. Help them, Father, please. I thank you for your love and your willingness to longing to meet with each one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Bless each of my dear brothers and sisters here in front of me. Father, will you please meet with each one? Please. And I realize, Lord, it's up to us, not you. Help them, Lord, to take the right steps. And you know, Lord, all these things, all that we've been talking about and the many, many more things we could talk about this week, but bless them. Thank you for them, Lord. Make us a conquering church because we've been with God. In Jesus' name, amen.